T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Jake is, he's on. All right, good. I cannot be more excited to announce this. We have an actual show happening in Kansas City at Starlight Theater, the first one we've been able to announce in like almost a year and a half.
Born June 10th in Canton, Massachusetts, he earned a degree in radio from Emerson College before moving to New York City and launching a career in stand-up comedy. He's released such comedy specials as Let It Go, You People Are All the Same, and the Grammy-nominated Paper Tiger. You've seen him on the Star Wars series, The Mandalorian. You've heard his voice on the Netflix animated series, F is for Family. And heard his Monday morning podcast. And this September 15th, you can see him live on stage at Starlight Theater. Please welcome comedian Bill Burr.
What's going on, man? How are you?
You know what? You're making my day a whole lot better. I find that you're coming to a Starlight Theater. That's like a real move in the right direction in post-apocalyptic world.
I hope so, man. You know, thank God these doctors did what they did. I'll go back out again.
I'm just waiting for the world to open back up. And the double down on this is, it's you. It's Bill Burr. You're the last line of defense against this newly minted weirdo super cancel culture. Everybody's offended mother effer world.
Yeah, but it doesn't really exist.
No.
That's the thing. I mean, if you really think about it, isn't most of cancel culture people saying that they're sick of cancel culture? I've yet to meet somebody that's gone like, you know what, I really like this cancel culture. It's kind of like, you know, the way these 24-hour news networks work. If 2,000 people have a good time, they're going to find the 3 people that didn't.
Yeah.
And they're going to talk to them because that's how they get eyeballs. If 7 million people get a vaccination and 4 or 5 people have a bleed, that's who they're going to talk about. It's just how it is.
No.
Oh my God! It's just like, if I had $7 million and $5-6 fell out of my pocket, I'm good. I'm good. I like that average. I am good with that. It's a very small group of people that have an agenda that they are trying to push through. And if things fit the narrative, they glom onto that. And then when the exact same behavior happens,
right. They
ignore that. And everybody else does because I'm telling you, dude, it's the $6 falling out of your pocket.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
You can only be canceled if you care. You just look at me like, I don't care how you feel about what I just said. Piss off. And that's the other thing is you go, look, you can't cancel me. I don't give a goddamn how you feel about it.
Yeah. What cancels you is bad work. If you stink, or you put out a movie that stinks, you're going to lose people. Or you put out a special that isn't funny, you cancel yourself. I don't know. With your world, I'd be like, you know, if you just had a week of bad shows, you just didn't feel funny and you couldn't get it going, that's legit something to get nervous about.
That's right. So. No, that's exactly right. It's never lost on me. Like, well, here's the best way to explain it. The moral majority was never either of those things.
I'm too dumb to even know what moral majority is.
Remember that was the thing in the 80s, and it was always going to be like the moral majority feels like, and I'm like, there's neither moral nor the majority. It is just, it's in a different way. I was talking to a friend the other day. I go, everybody wants diversity, but nobody wants to talk about how our differences. And that's the craziest thing I can imagine. I'm like, it's this imaginary emotional cop world. Like we're talking about, it doesn't really exist. I'm like, man, when do we stop?
No, they want diversity so they have an opportunity at the American dream. There's nothing wrong with that. But nobody's saying you can't say, hey, you dress a little different than I am.
Yeah.
You know, white people have a tendency to look out their white heads and be like, why don't you just comply? That's my favorite thing. Comply. It's like, yeah, they tried that. You mean like sticking your hands out the window going, I'm good. I'm in the armed services.
Right.
And still, no, you're a black guy. You're a black guy. It's just, yeah, that's what they're talking about. And certain white people keep trying to make it be about other things. And it's the whole thing is just dumb. Just don't be a jerk. How about that?
Yeah.
And just hire the best person for the job. That's a very difficult thing. It's a very difficult thing for a lot of people to do.
See,
it's kind of funny out here in Hollywood watching the same thing, because now they are green lighting all of these African-American stories. These are stories that need to be told. It's like, what about Asian stories? They're like, the hell with them. I don't care about them. It's all about them. They don't know. They either, it's like, we're only hiring white guys or we're only hiring black guys. They don't even know how to do it. They don't even know how to be like, why don't you just hire just let everybody come in.
Yeah.
Right? And just whoever does it the best, hire that guy. You know what it is about that? It's too much work.
Yeah,
too much work, and they just don't want to do it. And it's like, and I'm not coming down on them, because I do the same thing in like different parts of my life. If something is too much work, eating well, too much work. It's just like human beings are inherently lazy,
and
it becomes dangerous when you do that at that level where you're literally talking about other human beings in their lives.
Speaking of Hollywood, when they were talking about whether or not a straight actor could play a gay actor, I go, it's acting. I also don't think he's a serial killer, an assassin, or a real astronaut.
Yeah, but like I said, there's not a whole bunch of people talking about it. There's a couple of lunatics out there, and I can't even say the lunatics, because what they're doing is working. They know what they're doing. They go after advertising money and stuff. I don't want to sit here and talk about dumbass cancel culture the whole time. I want to talk about the fact that I have an hour of ignorance that I am bringing to Kansas City, and I'm going to tell my dumb jokes and make you laugh inside a building, which I haven't done in, I feel like, years at this point. I'm excited to do it.
Well, I hate to bust the dream, but it's Starlight Theater. It's outside a building.
But wait, they're not in cars?
Nope, it's outside.
Are they sitting in their cars? Okay, good, good.
Nope.
Well, that's progress.
Yeah, I know. Listen, man, here's what I know. I know this. You are one of the last great commentators on society, and I mean it in the Lenny Bruce, George Carlin vein, like really taking a solid look at this world and telling people. And that's what comedy has always been. That we've needed it because it's the way we accepted and kind of all understood the same things. And there's so much stupid, ridiculous nature about humanity of all of us. Just goddamn, man, it's.
Well, look, a comedy is everything from the Three Stooges to what Dave Chappelle does. And I exist somewhere on that timeline. And I appreciate what you're saying, but I am an idiot and I don't read. So if you're looking to figure out society, listen to me. You're going to be sadly mistaken. Listen to my new hour.
Well, you...
You're not going to learn anything. I am here. My job is to make you laugh. I am not here to teach you anything. And I appreciate everybody that comes out to see me. So... having said that, how are your Kansas City Royals doing this year?
You know what?
I loved watching you guys win that World Series a couple of years back. I was a Royals fan when I was younger because the Red Sox could never beat the Yankees. So I rooted for you guys in 77, 78, and 80. In 80 when you finally beat the Yankees and then lost to Pete Rose and the Phillies, but then in 85 when you beat the Cardinals on a very generous call at first base, I might add.
You are, by the way. You've got it down. You still, let me tell you, St. Louis is still, they're still crying about 85. And, you know,
dude. It was one of the worst calls of all time. However, though, the problem was I think the manager, it was such a bad call that the manager should have been like, all right, let's chill out. We can beat these guys. And they were so in their heads and so mad that, like, you guys scored, like, 11 runs in the first inning in the seventh game. You know, as a Red Sox fan, I know what those moments can do to you. When Vaughn Stanley came out of the bullpen, I know what those moments do. It's just, it takes, you know, It just takes it away from me. But who cares? Who cares?
We were so used.
You won another one?
We were so used to being so bad at baseball that it was like prison sex. You just went pigeon-toed and let it happen. And then suddenly you win a World Series, and I felt like I was 7 years old again. I was like, Jesus Christ. And the town went, and then you get Patrick Mahomes with the NFL, and this phenom comes alive, and it's like he's not even real. That's like touched by an angel stuff.
Oh, yeah, no. He has, every once in a while, like somebody has, it goes beyond great. He's great. He's charmed. I feel like everybody, like the greats always got to have a little bit of luck.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Tom Brady fan. Who knew about the tuck rule? I didn't know that. You know, the tuck rule set the whole thing off. Derek Jeter had that. They had the same thing. And I think this whole new generation of quarterbacks, you know, if Tom Brady ever retires, but like, you know, Drew Brees is gone, Peyton Manning is gone. This whole new generation of people that are coming up, I think they're some of the best quarterbacks I've ever seen. And Patrick Mahomes is at the top of the heap. He's like a tall Russell Wilson.
I like the stories. To me, like, Patrick, because I'm honestly not a deep sports guy. But for me, the idea that he's so young, so relaxed out there, that big, weird, goofy grin, and the ridiculous nature of some of the throws, you just go, man, this, I mean, it's like watching a movie. So yeah, it's
funny that to you it's a goofy grin. Being on the other side where he's marching down the field, that's not a goofy grin. It's like, oh man, he's relaxed, he's having fun,
right?
He's not afraid of the moment. Right. Oh no, we're gonna lose.
yeah. That's that guy who smiles at you right before beating your ass. You're like, oh, he's not scared. He's not even angry. He's just gonna have fun with me.
Yeah, he said your best Steven Seagal line, and he doesn't even flinch. And it's like, oh no, I think this guy knows how to fight. I was just bluffing.
Bill Burr is coming to Starlight Theater Wednesday, September 15th at 8 o'clock. And I mean, it's literally the first thing we've announced to have fun with it. I understand this, Bill. This is the first large show with, you know, 10,000 people. It we've announced in a year and a half in Kansas City is Bill Burr live at Starlight Theater.
Oh, believe me, dude. I've been doing stand up in parking lots and in fields behind motels. I can't believe it either. And I never thought there'd be a day where I would be excited to go to Los Angeles Airport because I had enough of that place. Like, I was kind of psyched the first 3 weeks of the pandemic. I'm not going to lie. I'd be like, hey, man, I don't need to go to another airport again. I've been doing this for 30 years. And then after, like, 4 weeks, I'm like, oh, I kind of miss it. I want to. And it's just kept going. I didn't do stand-up from March until, like, July of last year. But then Dave Chappelle opened something up in Ohio, and I had to get ready for that gig. And I just started doing gigs. And I've been working pretty steadily, and believe it or not, my hour is where it needs to be to announce a tour. So I can't wait to get out there and, you know, I mean, I might even come in a day early if the Royals got a night game the day before, eat a little barbecue, do the whole Kansas City thing, listen to some music. I mean, I'm just dying to, you know?
Yeah.
And I am a curmudgeon, and I at this point miss people. So I can't wait to get out there, you know?
Yeah.
You know, I just hope, you know, I'm kind of hoping that like, I have this fantasy that somehow someone will outlaw these 24-hour news networks that just scare the hell out of everybody and divide them.
Yes.
Or at least we'll call them out for their treasonous behavior.
Yes.
I really think, like, I've been doing the road for a long time, and I've really seen the effects of CNN's and Fox News. It's terrible because, like, it used to be fun to debate politics and stuff.
No, not anymore.
Now it's just like this visceral. It's a really, really crazy, crazy, crazy. And it's not just those channels because now it's like people on the internet have become their own little CNN and Fox News and doing their spin on everything and, you know, that fits into their narrative. The internet is a giant failed experiment. I would say 80% of it.
Yes.
It's like you can go on there and learn a new language. You can learn all history and stuff. And we're just going on there yelling at each other and watching free porn.
It's true. It's just wildly true, man.
I'm guilty of it.
Oh, me too. But it's just, I just watched, but a guy like you, let me swing from your nuts. Like, I know you got to feel points like you don't even know who to fight because you look around left and right and just everybody's saying the dumbest stuff. Like, we talk about those 24-hour news networks, and no matter who you face off with, somebody's pissed off. And you go, you know, why can't we all just smell stupid for stupid? Like, I'm not picking a side. I don't want any side anymore. I choose nothing. And that's, I think, the thing that, makes me love you so much, is you've always just stood in the middle on common sense.
Yeah, well, my job is not to educate people. My job is just to make fun of stuff.
Yeah.
So I just kind of tease everybody. And yeah, I got to be honest with you, man. Like, you know, there's so many cool people out there. That's like 99% of people I've run into.
Absolutely.
Know it's a joke, and they laugh it off. So, right. But, you know, people being upset is, ratings. So that's kind of what they go for.
Well, you.
What are you going to do, man?
Let me tell you, Bill. And I mean, I freely admit to swinging from your nuts. You don't see guys do this. What you've done with your career, and look, I'm not telling you anything you don't know, but it's worth saying out loud. Like specials, like Let It Go. You people are all the same. I'm sorry you feel that way. Into Paper Tiger, like it's very rarely you see a comedian exponentially get better. And when he starts out great, and then just go straight supernova, like it's fantastic, and it's pretty rare in this world.
I appreciate that because I am a fan of performers that I watched throughout my career that got better and better and better. Everyone from like Jack Lemmon as an actor to guys like, you know, Vinnie Colaiuta, Tony Williams, as drummers, just watching them, they just kept getting better and better and better and better as they went along. And you're like, oh, that's how you do it.
Right.
If you make it, air quote, make it, whatever the hell that means, and then you're just like, yeah, I made it, and then you just spend time sitting behind some rope in some VIP section, your skills erode. It's like going to the gym. You know, if you don't go, the next time you finally show up, you're winded after, like, walking a like your warm-up walk on the treadmill, you're winded. So, you know, it's very competitive, and there's so many super, super funny young comics out there that I'm, like, huge fans of. A whole generation of them,
sure.
The Joe List, Mark Norman, Sam Morrell, they're going to come through Kansas City if they haven't already. Those guys are like on just so funny, such great, great joke writers. And there's a bunch of people out in LA too. So, they definitely keep me on my toes because, that's how entertainment works. It's like, I love you until someone else better comes along.
Yeah. No, here, of course, the old corny saying, here today, gone later today.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, listen, you're not, but you will be here September 15th. Tickets are on sale now. September 15th, this is the official first announcement for the next, honestly, the biggest event we've been able to announce in a year and a half. It's Bill Burr Live at Starlight Theater. Tickets are on sale. And, man, September cannot get here fast enough. I tell you that and mean it with all my heart, Bill.
All right, well, you know something? I'll give you this advice. Enjoy the end of the pandemic here because there's going to be a time where you're going to be like, you know, it's kind of nice driving around with no traffic. Kind of nice to do all my meetings over video and not have to lug my ass all the way in town and sit across from these stuffed shirts. It's going to be, I'm telling you, there's going to be like, hey, man, I'm calling that right now.
Yeah.
6 weeks after this whole thing's over, people are going to be like, hey, you know, that pandemic chilling out and working from home wasn't so bad.
Fact, man. The great Bill Burr.